Today, we start our annual fall stewardship campaign. How many of you love it when a pastor stands up here and talks about money? I didn't think so. Thank you, Pam. God bless you. So let me be clear from the beginning. This is not entirely and only about money. It is about your total life and Jesus Christ's call on that life. It is partially and importantly about money, because money is at the core of your soul, and if you do not handle it rightly, it will make you ill, ill unto death, perhaps even eternally. So yes, I will talk about money specifically because it's important to your well-being and mine. And it's important to the support and process of the shalom of God in this church, community, and world. So, first, big picture, you are disciple stewards of Jesus Christ if you name him as Lord. That's the overall context. To get at this, I want to build from last year where we talked about the four scriptural principles of a disciple steward. And the Bible calls us to manage all of our stuff by first fruits giving and living, proportional giving and living, sacrificial giving and living, and if done right, it can be joyous living and giving. This year I want us to do a life audit. How many of you are capable with spreadsheets and financial audits and stuff like that? How many of you know what an audit is? Okay, could somebody tell me what an audit is and talk for a minute here while I take a breath? What's an audit? Loud, what's an audit? Say again?
Checking your books.
Checking your books for accuracy that they match? Okay. Say again? Yeah, so what comes out and goes in, they balance, they match. Good. Accountability. Yeah. So what I want us to do, starting today, and over the next coming 3 weeks, 4 weeks, to do a life audit. And we will incorporate those four biblical principles of stewardship with what I call the four gnarly roots of our mortal souls. Now, I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, and there was a lot of mountain climbing there. And I understand that gnarly is a word that comes from the mountain climbing community. And it depicts a stretch that is difficult, maybe even dangerous, but really, really excellent. And so it's come to mean these deep, gnarled, important, but somewhat difficult things. And so on the cover of your worship guide, you see my little vision of gnarly roots. Now, I was in the Congo the year after high school, as you probably know. And one of the things the supervisors of the missionaries had me doing started after a violent storm. And I walked out of the compound to see about a 60-foot tree that had been blown over by the wind and just narrowly missed the concrete wall of the compound in which were all the houses. And I was so impressed. I mean, that's a big tree. 60 feet is a pretty big tree. And the root circle was probably from there to there, you know. It was very extensive, but there weren't many roots growing down. And so this tree had a wide, shallow root system. And because the trees around it had been harvested, the roots didn't interlock with its neighbors. Now, there's another sermon on community, but this one's on stewardship. And so this tree with shallow roots got blown over in the storm. Obviously, the question I'm raising, are your roots deep enough in the storm to hold you? Are your roots nourishing enough that you will flourish as a Christian disciple steward? And this is what I hope the life audit will help us answer. I will, as your pastor, try to say with you what Jesus said. And this is where the good news starts to sound like bad news. Because Jesus wants it all. I stand before you today telling you and myself that Jesus lays claim to everything in your life. Everything that you are, everything that you have, every thought and impulse, every deep, gnarly thought, every good and lofty motivation, every reach of your power, every moment of your time in this day and all of your days to come, Jesus created, owns, and claims it all. The Bible says you are a resident manager, but Jesus owns it. That's why I've decided to work this stewardship campaign under the notion of life audits. During the coming week, I want you to audit your life. We can take a long, loving, detailed look at where your investments in life are. And I want us to work with the scriptural notions of foundations, the roots of our soul, four scriptural principles that will help us to audit our life investments. So, four gnarly roots and four guiding principles. Let me say also, as you work with this audit, that each one of us has our own language and style for that. You, of course, hear mine because it's mine. We have different idioms in Christianity. So don't hear one idiom about how the audit has to sound. But I am encouraging you to do an honest job of looking at these four roots and these four principles and see how they intersect. So first of all, what do I mean by gnarly roots of our mortal souls? Jesus talked a lot about these. The First Testament writers reflected God's passions and values in these four areas. Modern soul study, psychology, reflects similar areas of focus. Much of our most entertaining engagement, TV, movies, novels, is driven by these four. Time, sexuality, community, power, and money. Now, if I offend you by saying the short version of sexuality, I will back it up by scripture, and when you hear it, you can translate it community, triune God in relationship. But it includes both our sexual behavior and our communal behavior. And I want us to kind of lock that together because that's what the Bible does. But I want to begin with time. We live in and through time. We live in an eternal present that is always moving, always changes, yet this is the only moment we have. Our deepest understanding of ourselves, mortal, depicts that we are bound by time and that time will outlast us. We will die. God formed creation's multi-dimensions, and a foundational one is time. The very nature, fabric of creation has in it time. So rather than read you the first full chapter of the Bible, I want to simply remind you what it says. It's the first account of creation, and it's done in the metaphor of days. On the first day, God said, "Let there be light." On the second day, the dome in the midst of the waters, God called the dome sky. And there is evening and morning a second day. And third day, waters under the sky. And he looked and he said, "Ah, this is very good." Then third day, vegetation, everything living, God saw that it was good. On the fourth day, lights, great light of the day, lesser light of the night. And God saw that it was good.
fifth day, water bring forth living creatures, moving of every kind, birds of every kind. Be fruitful and multiply. There is evening and morning the fifth day. God said, let there bring forth living creatures on the land. And God said that it was good. And on day six, but I'll pick that up in a moment. So what I want you to notice in this quick summary of the first 25 verses of Genesis 1 is that God used time, created time into our very existence. It's the water in which the fish of creation swim. We all have 24 hours, the same 24 hours every day. And we believe that the length of our days is in God's hand, no matter how difficult or smooth, long or short. Dear ones, are you listening? I believe that for 21st century disciples, time is the most important discipline. Over the years, I've come to believe that how we manage our time directly relates to how well that root anchors and nourishes us. In our moment-by-moment living, the Hebrew understanding of time was at variance to the cultures around them and the Greek culture and the Roman culture, which all viewed time as circular, reincarnation. Don't get it right the first time, you get another chance. The Hebrews thought of time as an arrow shot by God to a target that ends in eternity. And we are pulled along by that arrow through time. And that means every moment is precious. Every moment is to be used. Ephesians 5:16 calls us to redeem the time as part of our daily spiritual warfare with the demonic powers that seek to drain our time of meaning and purpose and joy. And so, as we talk more about this Sabbath, Sabbath is a proportion, a tithe of our time. I trust God blesses you for being here this morning, tithing your time this way. Tithe your time to God. In this frenetic, busy, noisy culture, do you sacrifice TV time to quiet time? Where are you silent, attentive, and open before God's word and accessible to the Spirit? Community time. If God is Trinity, we are community. And our time is to be involved in community. And sacrificial time. Where do you sacrifice your immediate impulse to do this with time to do something that is of the shalom? Let me move down to roots 2 and 3. Our sexuality, our ability for community, shared love and delight, and our power. Let me pick up where I left off in Genesis 1:26, and let me read this to you. Then the Lord God, our triune God, I believe, said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything creeping upon the earth. So God created humankind in their image, in the image of God. They created them. Male and female, God created them. So do you hear it? The two core fundamental roots of being a human being goes right back to the very nature of the Trinity, from the earliest account we have of God's inspired word telling us, how do we make sense of being here in this world, of being who and how we are? The first thing it says is we were created for. In the image of God, we have dominion. Now, how many of you woke up this morning and said, God, thank you for my dominion. I'm so glad I get to have dominion today. Isn't this great? This is a dominion day. I didn't think so. I don't do that very often either. But fundamental to your nature is that you were created for power. God gave you power. God gave you power to use for God's purposes. How do we have power as persons? We have minds and wills. We have the ability to relate. We have this ability to create. We all have a drive to make something good and new. You guys make music. Somebody made these pews. Somebody's made this edifice. Somebody's makes new thoughts. Being created in God's image means that we have this creative ability to bring something new into being, and we have a drive to do something that is real and good. And that is dominion. We are to shape creation for God's purposes in little and big ways. And I hope that excites you. I can't see it on your faces, but I hope it excites you because you were created for dominion. Secondly, what's the second thing that these two verses say created in God's image means? We are go back and look at the passage. Okay, created for dominion, created in God's image. Pull out the Bible. Male and female, thank you. Have you ever noticed how durable our maleness and our femaleness is? Somehow, in that wonderful mystery that is God, we have this ability to be different and yet belong together. We have this ability to find passion and delight and love and creativity and procreativity. It is fundamental to our nature to be sexual beings. It is created in our nature to be in community. And how well we do that is directly proportional to our joy and effectiveness. I can tell you, there's almost nothing worse in life than a crummy marriage. And I can tell you there's almost nothing in life better than a good marriage. I can tell you there's almost nothing worse in life. It gets very nearly hellish when churches are in conflict with one another. Those who were designed to be in love with each other fight and fuss and try to get their own way and lobby their own agenda and get really hateful with each other. I have seen that, and that is an abomination to God. And here and other places, it is wonderful when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity because we were created for that. So, gnarly root, we live out our lives in time. We were created with power. We're to use it for God. We are created with this ability for community and love and passion and delight, and that brings forth new life. And then finally, we'll talk more about this next week, money. Bet you knew I'd bring that up, didn't you? We'll work more with it, but for now I simply want you to focus on how money is the symbol for and the facilitation of how we live out our time, community, and power. It's a symbol, and it's the functional way we operationalize that. And then finally, I want you to do two things. Notice that on your worship guide there's some texts. I want you to take those texts home and study them. It's on the back page of the insert. Says, Scriptures for Gnarly Roots. You have homework this week should you choose to accept it. I want you to take those texts and look particularly at the ones I didn't comment on, which are the Colossians 1 and 3 passages, which means that we have help as we work with this. Secondly, I drew up this wonderful little 4x4 matrix. They will be available to you if you wish them as you leave. They're back on the back, and ushers will have them. Across the top are the four gnarly roots. Down the side are the four biblical principles we worked with last year and we'll touch upon again today. I want you to take some time, if you will, and reflect on how it would be that your time and your first fruits intersect. How does first fruit, proportional, sacrificial, and joyous affect time? What would it mean to make time first? And just spend some time reflecting in the chart and see what you and the Holy Spirit come up with and see what happens as you read these texts. So I wish I had more voice. I think it's a miracle I'm talking. This is great. See how long it lasts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But I'm excited about this because it is useful to how we live. And I hope you can get into it and find some blessing in it. May God bless you this day and this coming week and the weeks to come. Amen.